things get a little bit grim. But this is especially heinous.
Did you tell the police that she was murdered, May?
Nope.
Witchy ghost stuff.
Ah!
That made me scared.
A spooky girl amateur hour.
Hi, is there a best friend over there?
Hi, best friend.
Best friend. That's my best friend, Taylor.
And that's my best friend, Denny.
Hi. You're listening to a podcast
called A Little Bit Grim.
We talk about things that are a little bit grim.
It is Ookie Spooky Hour. It is the day before Halloween.
New cycle.
New cycle.
Just in time for Samhain.
Oh.
Pulling out the clinical.
Extra Ookie Spooky. And it's episode 32.
Wow.
32.
We done did it. We made it to magical 32.
Our episodes are older than us. Wow.
I love that.
It's not a itty bitty teenage podcast anymore.
No. We're well into our 30s. We're thinking about our first mortgage maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we have like our Roth IRA and 401k going, a little bit of like a nest egg.
Mm-hmm. We got our HSA building up so that if an emergency happens, we're prepared, we're ready.
If we're lucky, we have a PPO healthcare plan through our employer.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully we're employed.
Hopefully we're employed. But, you know, sometimes you're not, and that's okay, too.
Yep. Hope you're doing good.
Love you a lot.
Welcome to Paranormal
Week. Yeah. I'm very excited. I got, because this is the day before Halloween.
Yes.
So I try to get extra ooky spooky, and I have a surprise for you.
I wish I would have gotten extra ooky spooky, because I didn't realize what day it was until it's too late. Oh, and it's like a little ooky spooky, and it's fun. It's kind of campy. It's a little bit lighthearted. You'll find out.
Mine is not lighthearted.
Okay.
Mine is heavy on the creep factor.
Awesome.
Light on the ghosts.
Okay.
Sir, may I ask what you're doing? Donut is in with us today.
Donut
in
boy.
In the studio.
Sweet boy. He's a big sweet floofy.
He's a sweet floof.
Come on. Stop looking at me like that. You can come up here.
He will not.
Oh, I know you won't.
Okay. So in honor of tomorrow being All Hallows Eve, I have a spooky Mad Lib.
Okay. Oh, no.
That you are going to do.
Oh, my God. All right.
Are you ready? This is good practice to know, like, our articles of speech here, okay?
Yes. Okay.
Okay, are you ready?
Uh-huh.
I need an adjective.
Creepy.
Okay. I need a verb.
Running.
Okay. And another adjective.
Crazily. Is that an adjective or is that a verb?
I altered it to crazy to make sense.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Another noun?
Tombstone.
Oh, okay.
We're going to make it
extra.
Theme.
I need a color.
Oh, black.
Okay. I need a plural noun.
Steaks.
Like eat steaks or steak steaks?
Steak steaks.
Okay.
Stabby stabbies.
Verb?
Jump.
I need a adjective.
Flowery.
Floral?
Floral.
Floral?
That's it.
Floral. Another verb.
Verb. Wiggle.
Noun.
Camcorder.
Wow, dated. Okay. Okay. And one more adjective.
Found? Is that an adjective?
Mm-mm.
No.
It's a verb.
Oh. An adjective describes.
Okay. Yeah.
Realized. That's not. Crap. It's too many in a row. You need an adjective. You need something to describe.
I need a describing word.
Pleasant.
This is so tame.
Tame?
Tame.
Okay, sorry.
It's okay. Okay. Tonight is the night when all of the creepy monsters come out to run crazy witches with big tombstones and black shoes make potions and very spooky brews.
Ooh.
Vampires with stakes and long red capes visit their friends and search for neck napes. Ogres and ghosts sometimes jumping and play on this floral October day.
I like a floral October day.
Same. All of the trick-or-treaters wiggle and hunt for camcorders and a scare, dressed up as princesses and cowboys here and there. Have a pleasant Halloween.
That actually could be on a Hallmark card.
Yeah, I like it. It's very wholesome. Very wholesome.
Well, that was fun. Yeah, thanks.
You're welcome. I haven't done a Mad Lib since I was like 12, and I'm like, huh, high time.
Oh my, yeah, it's been about that long. For a while since I've done a Mad Lib. I always had to do them with Abby, and she would always be like, periwinkle. And I'd be like, Jesus Christ, Abby.
That's me. That's how I do Mad Libs. I reach into the deepest depths of, like, my vocabulary brain.
Oh, yeah, no, I just pick what's first.
Got it. I try to dig.
No, I'm just like, bloop, there it is. There's one. There's one. Found one.
First one off the top. There you go. Mm-hmm. Shooting fish in a barrel here.
Yes.
Okay, I'm excited to tell you.
I'm so ready.
About this thing. And I have to tell you, I know it's a paranormal episode, and we are the day before Halloween. Mine is heavy on creep, light on ghosts.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
We're breaking the rules.
Ooh, it's our podcast. We can do what we want.
Don't yell at me, please. Taylor's sensitive.
Facts.
Okay. I'm going to tell you about an underground ossuary in Paris, France.
Oh, shit.
It holds the remains of more than 6 million people.
That is a fuck ton of people.
It's a fuck ton of bones.
That's a lot.
How many bones are in the human body?
200 and something.
Taylor, play techno music while I do math.
My guess is
283.
206. Ooh, dang it.
So close. Okay, so 206.
Times 6 million, is that what you're about to do?
1,236,000,000 bones.
That is heavy.
That's a lot of bones.
Wow. Okay.
All right. Okay. 6 million people in a tunnel network system built to consolidate Paris's ancient stone quarries, extending south from the Barrière d'Enfer, which is a translation, gate to hell.
Oh,
this ossuary was a necessary solution to a very gross problem that Parisians were experiencing.
The plague.
Wrong.
Oh.
You see. Well, kind of like a side result of the plague. Uh-huh. Because as Paris grew into its role as a major European hub, it eventually ran into a very serious problem. By the 17th century, enough people had lived and died in Paris that its cemeteries were overflowing.
Ooh.
Overstuffed with graves to the point that corpses would at times become uncovered.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
So the solution arose to place them in the centuries-old tunnels that had existed beneath the streets of Paris since the 13th century. Remnants of a time when limestone quarries were mined to build Paris into a thriving city. By the time these burials ended, 6 million Parisians' bones came to find their final resting place. Those living in the Les Halles neighborhood near Les Innocents, the city's oldest and largest cemetery, were among the first to complain, reporting the cemetery exuded a strong smell of decomposing flesh. Even perfume stores claimed that they couldn't do business because of the off-putting smell.
Oh.
In 1763, Louis the 15th, so many Louises. It's probably Louis. King Louis?
Yeah.
He issued an edict banning all burials from occurring inside the capital, but because of church pushback, which didn't want cemeteries disturbed or moved, nothing else was really done. So Louis the 15th's successor, Louis the 16th, continued the crusade, also proclaiming that all cemeteries should be moved outside of Paris. It was until 1780, however, that anything was done. That year, a prolonged period of spring rain caused a well around Les Innocents to collapse, spilling rotten corpses into a neighboring property.
Oh my God.
Paris needed a better place to put its dead people.
Bodies on parade.
What is that song? Elephants on parade. Here they come.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. Okay. The ossuary remained largely forgotten until it became a novelty place for concerts and other private events in the early 19th century. Now, Parisians currently often refer to the entire tunnel network as the catacombs.
Yes.
It took the city 12 years to move all the bones from bodies numbering between 6 to 7 million into the catacombs. Some of the oldest bones dated back as far as the Merovingian era, which is more than 1,200 years ago.
Holy God.
As the bones were brought into the catacombs, they were dumped into piles completely disorganized as remains were removed from Paris' cemeteries.
Mismatchy
bones. Louis Oction Héricard de Thury oversaw the transformation of the quarries into the eerie art that still exists in the catacombs today. He directed his team to stack femurs and skulls to form walls that essentially created an art museum of death below the streets of Paris. Under his direction, archways with inscriptions warning visitors were also added. Inscriptions such as, "Stop, this is the Empire of the Dead." Or, "Visit likely to deeply upset sensitive people."
Yeah.
And,
"Me?"
Right. And, "Think in the morning that you might not survive until the evening. And in the evening that you might survive until the morning."
Oh, that one's oogie.
That one's oogie. Oogie. Oogie, oogie.
That's going to make me think twice.
Woo!
Like, I still want to go.
Right.
But once we get there, I need you to be prepared for me to have a mental breakdown at the edge of the catacombs. You are going to have to tug me in. Like, I want to go in my soul, but my body is saying no.
Your survival instinct will say...
is going to kick in.
Yes. Don't worry. I will override it.
Great.
I will lure you into the catacombs.
That is what best friends are for.
In the least menacing way possible.
You're going to be like, "Bitch, get in right now. We did not come to Paris for this.
Get into
this. I'm not taking you to Disneyland Paris unless we get in this stupid catacomb.
Don't make me turn the subway around. We are getting into this Empire of the Dead, so help me God."
One way or another.
Beginning during the French Revolution, the dead were buried directly in the catacombs ossuaries. Some famous or infamous characters from history who call the catacombs their final resting place include Jean-Paul Marat, one of the Revolution's most radical voices, and Maximilien de Robespierre, an influential figure during both the Revolution and subsequent Reign of Terror. The city stopped moving bones into the ossuaries in the 1860s. Today, little more than a mile of the catacombs is open for visitors or anyone to explore. The public entrance is located in Paris's 14th arrondissement, which is like neighborhood.
Okay.
At 1 Avenue du Colonel Henri Roltinguet, it takes 45 minutes to walk through the entirety of it. Guides are available, but not required. So you can just meander.
Flounce around in there with all those dead bodies.
But only for that 1 mile, because they have the rest of it like blocked.
Are you going to tell me why?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes. So visitors can also purchase audio guides for €3.
Oh, fine.
And the tunnels extend many more miles under the city, but it is illegal to go there.
Huh.
So in total, it's about 200 square kilometers underneath the city of Paris. And there is 1 mile that you can go in.
That
is mapped.
Half a percentage?
Half. 0.5%. Kind of.
Ish.
Miles to kilometers. Blah,
yeah,
blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
But yes.
Who?
Indeed. Mm-mm. So, I'm not sure if this like part makes it creepier or if it kind of humanizes the catacombs a little bit, but the punk rock craze of the late 70s transformed the catacombs into a land of art. Huh. Young Parisians embraced punk's DIY ethic and anarchic leanings. They found entrances to the catacombs and cellars across Paris and created a world of art and hedonism unmolested by the authorities.
Whoa.
Today, many of those entrances have been sealed up. It's been illegal to visit the catacombs since 1955, but that hasn't stopped catacomb aficionados, or cataphiles, from finding their own ways in. Some cataphiles map hundreds of miles of tunnels. Others just come to create art or party, but this hasn't... blah, blah, da, 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 period. Under Paris, there are spaces of all kinds. Canals and reservoirs, crypts, bank vaults, wine cellars transformed into nightclubs and galleries. One dust-colored fellow, a girl went bleep back the gravy train up. I skipped words.
Oh, okay.
Like, if you want to mark it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. I was reading an article by Neil Shea and National Geographic, who was kind of like trying to tail some of these cataphiles and like get into their good graces. So he could
go with.
But one of the persons that Neil was interviewing had just came back from underground because they were attending a like very dark bachelor party.
Okay.
Down in the catacombs.
I don't think I like
it. I don't like it either. Subterranean revelry sometimes has fatal consequences, and at one of these underground raves, a 45-year-old man suffered a heart attack and died in September 2016.
Oh, shit.
In 2013, news broke that a very specific brand of erotic photographers and filmmakers were shooting in the catacombs, illegally.
Porn? They were shooting porn in the catacombs?
So they would go in, all the actors and producers and whatever, and they had their bags and they broke all their camera equipment down and they went down for the self-guided tour and they broke through the barriers, snuck into the catacombs, and shot porn.
Oh my God.
Uh-huh.
But do people even pay for porn anymore? Like, what's the payoff here?
I don't know.
Huh.
I don't know.
Interesting.
I mean, people don't pay for YouTube, but like YouTubers make thousands of dollars from views. I assume it's the same way. Ad revenue. I don't know.
That's true. Clicks.
So, people sneak in. They have parties. They have raves. They have all kinds of dark stuff that they sneak down in there. And these little shady, like, hole-in-the-wall businesses that the buildings are 500 years old and they're all connected to the catacombs and people just found their way in.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that these business owners, like, give me enough euros and I'll help you get in.
Oh, hell yeah. I have a cellar right now. You want to go into the catacombs? I know how to get you in.
Uh-huh.
So, on the lighter side, other interlopers have some pure intentions.
Aww.
So, there's a clock at the Paris Panthéon. It is a mausoleum for France's most respected dead, including Louis Pasteur, Voltaire, Victor Hugo. And the clock had not worked since the 1960s. But one day in 2006, its bell began to toll.
Aww.
Out of nowhere. So a clock restorer named Jean-Baptiste Vio had approached an underground collective called Untergunther the year before. Untergunther is a secret society of men and women that are devoted to restoring areas of the catacombs.
Oh.
The long list of restorations is a multi-generation project. It will not be completed in their lifetime. It has not been completed, has been in the works since the very beginnings of the people carrying the bodies down into the catacombs.
So what are they trying to do? Just like restore it?
Restore it. Like parts of caves that have fallen in, things that have become like filled with water.
Okay.
And they're trying to restore the original art. And so only the people who carried the bodies down into these caverns that were already dug out because they mined the limestone out of them made the maps and passed it through the family.
Oh, and now that's some like national treasure shit.
Yes. It's like Illuminati.
Ooh.
The only ones who really know. So Untergunther agreed to help the clockmaker. And Vio and a small team used the catacombs to access the Pantheon every night and camped in them until he restored the clock to its former glory. And in 2006, it started to chime again.
Wow.
So what's really cool about that is my favorite movie in the whole world, is As Above, So Below. Because there's so many beautiful, symbolic parallels in that movie that just go watch it. It's so important. But in that movie, and I didn't know it until I did this research, there's a scene where Scarlett, the main girl, goes to go find her friend who is repairing a broken clock tower in Paris, and she has to go find him and convince him to go into the catacombs with her, which he shouldn't have fucking done. But at the end of that scene, he gets the clock tower to chime again.
Okay.
So it was just, I was like, oh, that really like happened.
Oh, that's awesome.
Really cool. Okay. So this is where it's about to take a turn. These are a very abridged version of some of the grossest things to happen in the catacombs.
Yeah. This is what we're really here for.
This is what we're here for. The uncovered video camera.
Oh my God.
This by far is one of the creepiest Paris catacombs legends. And in the early 1990s, a group of cataphiles were walking through the dark chambers of the cemetery off-grid.
Okay.
They happened upon a video camera on their ground, and to their surprise, the camera had footage on it. As the group watched the footage, they heard disturbing noises. It became apparent that the man holding the video camera was lost, and he had no idea how to escape. In the video, the audience can clearly draw that the man is going mad inside of the underground network of tunnels because he has been there for a while.
Oh, no.
The video ends abruptly with the man dropping the camera on the ground. To this day, no one knows who this man was or if he came out alive. Many believe that the movie As Above, So Below was inspired by this tragedy. And if you listen closely, you can find the video.
Really?
Yes. And if you listen, you can hear him. It's like he's talking to somebody.
Uh-huh.
And then at the very end, right before he drops the camera, you can hear little whispers.
Blah.
Yeah. Horrifying.
Nah.
Nay. So, voices at midnight. Possibly linked to the video camera story, a famous Paris catacombs legend says that a mystifying thing occurs within the burial site after midnight. Legend says that if you're inside of the Paris catacombs after midnight, the walls begin to speak. Disembodied voices will try to persuade you to venture deeper and deeper into the catacombs until you cannot find your way out.
We don't listen to voices without bodies.
Well, there's plenty of bodies to be had. They're just not connected.
Yeah, if you can't draw the connection between a voice and a body, you're not. Don't listen to the voice. No.
No. That, how are you going to listen to a voice that doesn't even have a body? Like, you don't even have arms, bro. Like, how am I going to take advice from you?
How can I even take you seriously?
You have no neck. Okay. During the French Revolution, there was a man named Philibert Asser. He was a doorman at the Val de Grasse Hospital.
Okay.
French words are hard.
Yes.
On a mission to fetch a certain liquor from a cellar, he actually ended up entering the Paris catacombs by mistake.
Oh, that's not a great mistake to
make.
That's
the worst of all mistakes.
Uh-uh.
We do not want to ever accidentally wander into the catacombs.
Can you imagine?
No.
That is my nightmares forever.
Woo! So, walking around the pitch black catacombs alone with just a single candle, he became incredibly lost and confused. Many believe he had been intoxicated at this time as well, and soon his candle blew out, making his vision completely black. At this point, it was virtually impossible for him to escape the profound darkness of the catacombs. His body was not found until 11 years later. When a group of cataphiles uncovered it.
Ooh.
They identified him by the hospital key ring hanging from his belt. He is buried in the catacombs at the exact same place where he died, with a tombstone describing his death. Catacombs and cataphile folklore tellers say that each November 3rd, Philibert's ghost haunts the labyrinth of the catacombs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, this one is really gross. And this was recent.
Oh, God, okay.
In 2004, a group of police officers were exploring a part of the Paris catacombs restricted from public access.
They were just out in there exploring?
I'm sure they were doing, sweeps.
Oh, to make sure that, people hadn't gotten down there?
Yeah, because people do. They sneak down there and they have raves and do drugs. And of all the places that you could trip acid, do not do it in the catacombs.
Hoo-hoo-hoo.
Mm. No, ma'am.
I don't need those walls coming to life.
No. Oh, my God. The bones. The squiggles. Woo. Okay. So, as the police officers begin exploring, they begin to uncover some very strange things. First, they find a PA system with a pre-recorded guard dog barking noises playing.
What?
Yeah. Then they found a 3,000 square foot area of galleries wired for phones using pirated electricity.
Whoa.
They found a bar, a living area, a workshop, a lounge, and even a cinema with room to seat 20.
Shut up.
Room to seat 20 people.
Oh my.
The cinema seats had been carved into the stones of the catacombs. And the creepiest part was they saw cameras on the ceilings recording them. The police squad went back to the area a few days later with a larger team to further investigate. Everything they had discovered from the phone lines to the Paris catacomb cinemas had vanished.
Wait, what?
It vanished. They went back a couple days later with more resources to investigate it.
But even the seats that were carved into the walls?
Everything had vanished.
G- Gone.
The Poof. Only thing they found was a note that read, "No se sepa," meaning "do not search."
Oh, no.
Uh-huh.
Uh-uh. Don't like big things disappearing like no. that.
Not little things that have been carved into stone.
No.
Nay-nay.
Like, if we can, like, pick up and move, sure. Like, okay. Somebody came back for it. Not seats carved out of skulls.
Not the hard wiring, the electricity. None. Gone. Do not search. Do not pass go. Do not search.
Yikes.
So I will. Yikes. I know. I was so excited to research the catacombs because it is such like a dark touristy place.
Yeah.
And I think for me, one of the scariest parts researching this was the lack, because I searched. I was like, people getting lost in the catacombs, like ghosts in the catacombs, paranormal experience, blah, 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 that kind of stuff. And of course, I ran across like, there were black masses that took place in the catacombs. The Pope at one point came down and did a mass in the catacombs. And so it said that like, other like occultists came in and performed a black mass at the same time.
Okay.
That the Pope was down in there. I found one article about three teenage boys who went missing for 4 days in the catacombs. But it was the lack of information other than the explored part of the catacombs. Because if you go missing in the catacombs, nobody knows you're in the catacombs.
Yeah, and eventually you're just going to become a part of the catacomb.
Exactly.
Like, the only thing that's going to differentiate you is that hopefully you still have your clothes on.
Hopefully you do. Hopefully. But, like, if, like, that one guy didn't get found for 11 years, like, your clothes are going to disintegrate because it's dark, it's dank, it's wet, it's limestone. Everything is going to decay.
No, the Vatican's got something to do about it.
Always.
They got their hands in it.
They always have their hands in everything. The Vatican.
There's demons in it.
They cannot keep their hands to themselves, mm-hmm. the Vatican.
Mm-mm. No, there's demons
figuratively
down there.
And literally.
Ooh, yeah. Facts.
It just gave me
the biggest heave.
The biggest heave about how much information there is not on all of these other areas of the catacomb. And it's like the high up people
mm-hmm.
who are organizing it, the Musée de Pelli, they have no intention of exploring deeper into the catacombs. They have their 1 mile. And that's it. And you do not go digging further.
Mm.
And like on a spiritual level, I just don't know what kind of like, I don't want to say evil, but like energy can fester in the dark for hundreds of years, filled with 6 million souls who were uprooted from their final resting place.
Yep.
And moved into an abandoned cave just because Paris was like, we don't know what else to do with you.
And then mismatched. Desecrated.
All the bones. And turned them into art.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Vatican's for sure got something to do with that.
There were quite a few. I didn't include it a whole lot just because it, I don't want to say like it was fishy.
Okay.
But it seemed far-fetched that people are adamant that there is some like national treasure secrets, government secrets.
It's a conspiracy.
Demons, all kinds hidden in the catacombs. And I think the scariest part of it is we don't know.
No. What's that, Tom Hanks movie, Angels and Demons? Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Like the Da Vinci Code?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I love the Da Vinci Code. That's a good one.
I only watched it, I think, once.
It's worth a rewatch.
Is it? It's okay. Good. I'll have to rewatch
the
it.
The second one wasn't bad either, if I'm going to be totally honest.
All right.
I'm a simp for Tom Hanks.
Oh, yeah.
If it ever comes out that he, like, did something terrible, I'm going to be devastated.
All right. Goodbye, donut. Love you lots.
We had to kick him out. He was being on his worst behavior as usual.
Which is just normal behavior.
He was just being on a behavior.
Being donut. All right, so.
Okay, I'm so ready.
Him. So I did not know what I was going to do until about noon today.
Okay. Cut it close.
I was.
It's like 7.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I was like, I have 4 hours to get this done. And oh, I have a job.
Who need to get a game plan in order real quick?
Right. So I was actually very surprised at how quickly this story came together.
Okay.
But I'm going to give myself a little bit of a disclaimer that I thought that there was going to be a lot more.
Oh.
To this story, I thought there was going to be a lot more sources and things that were going to back this. Unfortunately, there's not. So
credibility not found.
404, error. especially because my source is Ghost Hunters Artifacts.
The show?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Fucking Zag Baggins.
All right.
So like facts, iffy at best.
These are watered down facts.
Absolutely.
Facts with flavor, also known as fibs.
Spicy facts.
Spicy facts. Spicy facts and straight up lies.
Yes.
I can't wait.
The Zag Baggins show.
The spinoff.
Oh my god. Okay. In all things, I want to start at the beginning with Mr. Bela Lugosi and his haunted mirror.
Who the fuck is that?
Bela Lugosi, he played Dracula.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he was born Belasco Bela Fernic Desco.
What a name.
I know. He was born October 20th, 1882 in Hungary.
Okay.
And he was a Hungarian-American actor.
Oh.
Here at A Little Bit Grim, we know him best for his role as Bram Stoker's Dracula, as the infamous Count Dracula himself. first, he portrayed Dracula in the Broadway stage production, then later on the silver screen in 1931. Through the 30s, Lugosi played roles in a few popular horror films, and his accent was so fantastic for that niche, but unfortunately it pigeonholed him, and he became super typecast, so okay. He was always kind of a villainous character.
Sure.
He auditioned for multiple other roles, but they were always given to somebody else. It is a common legend that Lugosi was into the occult and would utilize one specific mirror in his rituals. So let's define occult real quick.
Okay.
It is not a cult.
O-C-C.
Oh, yeah.
U-L-T.
Yes. Occult. Not a cult. Space C-U-L-T.
And cult.
Yes. So the occult is a supernatural, mystical, or magical beliefs, practices, or phenomena. Which is from the Oxford Dictionary. So a cult does not have a connotation, whether that is good or bad. Like all things, it's how you practice.
Yeah.
The occult does not equal devil worship in every sense, although some practitioners may practice that way. One size does not fit all.
Mm-hmm.
Lugosi particularly liked the practice of scrying. Scrying is the practice of looking into a suitable medium, such as a crystal ball or mirror, in the hope of detecting messages from spirits or visions of the past or future. And he would scry in the mirror often.
Wow.
Yes.
I'll mess around with mirror scrying.
Oh, I'm going to get into mirrors here a bit. Don't fuck with mirrors.
Yeah. Ah! It's not great.
No, I will not go into a bathroom if it's dark.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Like, I will flip on the light before I close the door. Like, anytime that I get a little too, like, lazy with it and start closing the door before it gets all the way, like...
Do you panic?
Oh, I'm like... many people say that Lugosi would often try to contact his deceased wife after she had died. And he would do that through scrying in the mirror.
Ooh.
Now...
Don't chant women's names into a mirror now.
You will regret it. So there was, one of my sources was the Skeptical Inquirer.
I'm
gonna love him so much. but basically all this guy does is goes to like haunted places and stuff and then basically debunks them.
What a job.
I know. So
we would be bad at it. I'd be like, you got ghosts.
Yeah.
You better drink about it.
Better go.
Better move.
So... He says, curiously, none of Lugosi's five wives died while he was married to them.
What?
And therefore, he was not a widower and was not trying to contact his recently deceased spouse.
Who was he trying to contact?
Well, the theory is that he was not into the occult at all, and this is just something that Zach made up on his show.
Okay, got it. Cool.
Friggin' Zach.
Theory is, it's a lie.
Yes. So Lugosi died of a heart attack in 1956, and he died in the bedroom of his Los Angeles apartment and was buried wearing one of his Dracula cloaks.
Really?
Facts.
Cute.
Yeah, his daughter picked it out for him, and I was like, sweet baby. Aww. I love that. I love that fact so much. And that's a real fact.
The one and only.
The one. So after Lugosi died, a man named Frank Robert Seletri rented the apartment in L.A. and the mirror was still in the bedroom where it had been left when Lugosi died. So in the show, there is a woman that comes on and she is the niece of this man named Frank.
Okay.
So they call him Uncle Bob because his middle name was Robert.
Okay.
And they say that the mirror was hidden behind a curtain when he moved in, and then he took the curtain down when he, like, moved in and got all the stuff situated. Uncle Bob was a writer, producer, and director, and he had a hand in a few horror movies, which I thought was just interesting. Like, a producer of horror film moves into, like,
Dracula's
Big Mac Daddy horror
yeah.
actor's house.
Big Mac Daddy horror.
So Frank's niece's name is Cindy, and she tells the good old Zach Bagans the story of how her uncle died. In 1982, now, so this is 82, and Lugosi died in 56.
Oh, that's like many moons later.
So we're talking 30 years later.
So many moons.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
Uncle Bob was brutally murdered in the house. Also a fact.
Ooh.
So the police believe that it could have been a mob hit. There were screwdrivers in the backs of his elbows and knees.
Ew, what?
Yeah.
Ew. Of all places, you're going to put a screwdriver. Like, that's the most labor-intensive part.
Horrible. Horrible.
Golly.
And he died to one gunshot to the head.
Mm.
The assailant removed the bullet from his head with one of the screwdrivers so that there would be no ballistic evidence.
Ugh.
Eh-eh. So, this murder is still unsolved to this day.
Really?
Yeah, it's a cold case.
Oh, no.
But Cindy believes that this was the work of someone her uncle knew because there were no signs of forced entry and nothing was missing from the apartment. The mirror, of course, was in the bedroom with the murderer and the victim when the act took place.
Ooh.
So, I want to get into mirror lore for just a second. The ancient Romans believed that mirrors or any reflective surface was a reflection of the human soul, and they must not be misused or something terrible could happen and the soul would be lost.
Oh.
Some legends say that mirrors can capture the soul when the body is weak, such as when you're asleep or when you're sick.
This is why you don't put a mirror above the head of your bed.
Exactly. Seeing a reflection of someone you love in the mirror is a death omen in many cultures.
Okay.
The 7 years bad luck is a superstition because it is believed that when you break a mirror, you break your soul into pieces and it cannot be remedied for 7 years.
Mm.
Cultures from around the world believe that mirrors are a portal to another dimension, predictors of the future, and windows into the afterlife. And there are centuries-old practices of covering mirrors. Yeah. So people cover mirrors in homes where loved ones are dying because they believe their spirit could get confused.
Trapped. Oh.
And not know which, like, if they should go into the mirror or the afterlife. And then they would become trapped in the mirror.
Okay.
In that same vein, some people cover mirrors because they believe the devil could be in the mirror and that he would try to collect the loved one's soul after they've died.
Ooh.
And take it to hell with them.
Ew, that gave me chills.
Yeah. From these superstitions, we've gotten parlor games such as chanting Bloody Mary or lighting a candle and trying to see the face of your future husband in the mirror. Many psychologists say that mirrors work on our psychological roots and disturb us because it is hard to see and interpret our own image or sense of self. Matrixing or identifying shapes that aren't there so the brain has some tangible form to view from nothingness. Shapes by candlelight or low light also cause the human eye to create forms or shapes that are not there, the product of the brain desperate to make order out of the chaos.
Ooh.
So that's a little bit of like the why behind we seeing weird stuff in mirrors, but the fact is you do see weird shit in mirrors.
Right.
Your brain is trying to figure out what it's seeing. What the
fuck is happening?
Who is that girl I see staring straight back at me? Anyway. mostly Zach. believe that the mirror, Bela Lugosi's mirror, could have captured some of the evil energy from the murder.
Okay.
Cindy was the owner of the mirror until she donated it to Zach in his wildly haunted museum of things. She had a lot of negative emotions around the mirror and said that she thought it brought bad things, and the bad things were attached to it.
Ooh.
She has two daughters. The oldest of the two daughters had many experiences with the mirror, but she straight up was like, Mom, I'm not going on this fucking TV show. It was like, no, absolutely not. So Mom was like, yeah, no, she doesn't want to talk to you. And Zach Bagans was like, oh, why?
Because you are the way you are.
Yeah, because you have a history of trying to coerce women into doing shit they don't want to do.
Right.
So Cindy went and talked to Zach, and then her younger daughter, Irene, went and talked to Zach. And I was just like, why are we leaving the, like, if the other sister didn't want to go, I would just be like dropping the mirror off in a box and being like, toodaloo.
Right, we can ship this to you now.
Yeah. But no, they went and they decided to have this conversation without her. I wonder if they talk. I tried to find both of them on Facebook. Was unsuccessful.
Okay.
But their last name is Lee. And I was like,
Liggy?
Lee. Like, oh, L-E-E. Lee.
Oh, there's probably so many.
Yeah, and Cindy and Irene.
Yeah. Cindy Lee, there's at least 5 million.
Absolutely. So I got to like page 3 in Facebook before I gave up. Okay, so the older sister, the one that did not want to talk to Zach, lived alone and had the mirror at her house. When she would be curling her hair or doing her makeup, she would look up and see a dark entity in the mirror.
Ooh.
It was also said that she could feel teeth biting her neck.
No!
Dracula, you need to calm down. Calm down,
it's
bud.
It's a stretch, bud. It's like, did you feel teeth in your neck? Mm-hmm. Are you okay?
In Dracula's mirror? Okay. Irene Lee, Cindy's daughter, the one that is willing to talk to Zach, said that her sister would come and spend the night with her and her mom because she didn't want to be alone. Irene was about 14 at the time, and she said that when her sister would come over, she would want to sleep in the same room. She was super afraid to be alone, super afraid of the dark, just
skittish.
Unsettled.
Okay.
And she told Irene that a hand would come out of the mirror and reach for her. Like a dark, spindly hand.
Oh, no, nay, nay. You better grab it and yank it.
Pass.
Cut it off.
Better come out here.
You better get a
machete.
Fight
me like a man. At some point, and unfortunately this part is a little bit more unclear, the older sister moves away and leaves the mirror behind, and it gets handed back to Cindy.
Mm.
And Cindy puts it in Irene's old room after Irene moves out.
What a dick.
Can we just get rid of it?
I guess not.
And yeah. The mirror resided in Irene's old bedroom up until the moment that they decided to take it to Zach's Museum of Spooks. Irene even has her own story to tell about the mirror. So one night, she stayed with her mom in her old room, and she didn't know that the mirror was there.
Oh.
And she didn't know until the next day. But she went to sleep and had a nightmare that something was attacking her, scratching her, holding her down. She remembered seeing hands in her dream and not being able to breathe. Ooh. And she woke up and had scratch marks all over her body.
Ooh.
And the thing that super freaked her out was that there were scratch marks in the middle of her back. That she was like, I couldn't have reached this.
Oh, God.
And she said, people tried to, like, tell me that I did it myself. But she was like, the one that I can't figure out is the scratches on my back.
Okay. Yikes.
Cindy said that she felt like she couldn't sell it or give it away in good conscience. So she decided to give it to Zach in his creepy crawling museum. One of the most unsettling things to me is what happens after Zach takes the mirror from Cindy. So Zach, in his infinite douchebaggery, takes Aaron. Poor Aaron.
Aaron, smash this mirror with a hammer.
Yeah. Ashley, who's one of their techs, and a brand new baby to their production team. Oh. It is her first day. She is an intern.
Oh, no.
And he says, I want to do an experiment.
No. No, you are not experimenting on an unpaid intern.
But he does.
Of course he. Infinite douchebaggery.
Yeah, absolutely. So he tells them that one at a time, they're going to go to the basement with the mirror and in the pitch black darkness, stare at the mirror.
No.
They all friggin' do it. And he makes them raise their right hand and be like, I give Zach Bagans permission to, like, do this to me.
He like, makes them swear an oath?
Yeah, and I was like, babies, nobody told you about consent.
No. Now raise your right hand and pledge you won't press legal charges.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. So the mirror is taken to the basement, and in this room, I think that there has to be some kind of a light or else they can't see the mirror.
Yeah.
But it's pretty friggin' dark in there. One of the girls, Ashley, is the one that's actually been on the production team, and she's been around for a while, so I'm sure she knows, like, the nonsense that's about to occur.
Sure.
She sits down, and she says she feels like she's looking at someone else, like she doesn't recognize herself in the mirror, and she starts seeing, like, lights in one half of the mirror.
No.
And you see her, she's staring at the mirror, and, like, really, like, slowly, she just turns her head to one side and is, like, staring to the left. And she's just, like, staring. And there's cameras on her. And Zach is talking to one of the other cameramen. And he's like, what is that look about? What is she looking at? And
I'm horrified.
Yeah. And that's basically what scrying in a mirror is. You just focus on the mirror.
Uh-huh.
And you let your brain
work for you.
Yeah. Come up with these images. I do not trust myself. Do not trust my brain enough to not send me down a spirally depression of hell.
No.
Absolutely not. I am medicated for a reason.
My brain does that without a mirror. There's no need to toss a mirror into this.
Into the mix? Absolutely
I can spiral
not.
On my own just fine.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, let me contemplate what I did in eighth grade for a minute, and I will spiral just fine.
It all started when I played the clarinet in sixth grade middle school.
At least you played the clarinet. I faked learning how to play the recorder until
you didn't have, like, playing tests.
I faked it until my first playing test.
Okay, got it.
And then my teacher very quickly realized
that
I
were not playing
could not play the recorder. And she didn't do anything about it. She was just like, okay, yeah, you didn't do this. And I was like, no.
I didn't do that.
So I never learned how to read music.
Okay.
Okay, sorry, side topic. So, Aaron then goes down, and pretty much immediately he sits down, looks at the mirror, and sees himself as an elderly man.
Mm.
So he is convinced he has seen the future.
Okay.
And then he starts, like, talking to the mirror. I think he's, like, trying to be Zach and, like, provoke whatever is in there. And he's like, why don't you show yourself to me? I want to see you. No, bro.
Get better role models.
Yeah. For sure. So then the poor little intern girl, like, she just kind of gets down there and she's super, like, super freaked out, but she doesn't really react to anything.
Mm-hmm.
And they come up all back upstairs and they realize Aaron and Ashley both saw the same light. They both saw, like, the lights happening on the side of the mirror.
Mm.
And that freaks them out that they saw the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then Zach goes, okay, the experiment's not quite over. So, the mirror can get you in your dreams.
What?
Because the one girl had, like, all these dreams about, like, getting scratched up. And so he's like, I want you to come back in the morning and tell me what you dreamed about. And this poor, like, intern girl is like, he's like, you probably wouldn't have done that if I would have told you that, huh? And she's like, well, I already did it, so.
So, it was a little late.
Yeah.
Sir.
To be surprising me. And he was like, what a dick.
God.
Stop
Zach Bagans from coercing young women.
Yeah. Can we start a hashtag?
Yeah.
So this is pretty, pretty freaky. So they take it, the mirror, and leave it in the basement, right?
Okay.
And they leave it down there overnight.
Oh, God.
And Zach gets there. He's the first one there in the morning and he goes downstairs to check on the mirror and the entire basement is flooded.
Oh.
Of his museum.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
In Nevada?
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
I think a pipe burst.
Oh, no.
So there's...
That's what you get.
Yeah, there's production equipment floating around. There's, like, artifacts floating around. It wasn't anything that they had on display, obviously. It was the basement.
Yeah.
But there was, like, a mannequin, like, floating around in the basement.
No, oh, my God, no.
And he walks down the stairs and he's got his cell phone because there's nobody there. It's just him. And he's like, I just got here. My basement's flooded. And it was probably, like, the most real I've ever heard him because he doesn't have all these cameras on him.
Yeah.
It's just him. And he's like, man, I can't step down here. I don't know if...
There's, like, live wires.
Live wires.
Yeah.
But then you just hear, like, creaking and like really, really intense rattling. And he's like, what the fuck? Are those the pipes? And the pipes are going nuts. Just.
Ooh. Well. That's what you get for coercing an intern.
That's what you get, bro. So that is the story of the Bela Lugosi mirror. I looked and looked and looked for other stories relating to the mirror, but because it's been in this one family and the only interviews they've ever granted are with Zach, there's nothing else.
Hard to find.
It's just this one story. But, I mean, it doesn't mean that it's not... I don't know. It saw some pretty horrific stuff.
Yeah.
It saw two deaths, which is a lot for a mirror.
What about people?
What?
What about people?
I mean, it's a lot for people. It's too. A lot for people. But I mean, yeah, it saw a natural death, and then it saw this like super horrible, brutal attack. And I don't know. So I would highly recommend you go check out the Skeptical Inquirer if you are interested in this story, because he does a deep dive into debunking a lot of this.
Okay.
Not only that Bela Lugosi just did not have a wife that died, but he actually talks to Bela Lugosi's granddaughter about a lot of the stuff. And she's just like, I mean, I don't have that in my records. That doesn't mean it's not true. My records could be incomplete, but I can tell you that I don't have them at this moment.
Okay.
But is it haunted? Who knows? Go find out for yourself.
It reminds me, have you seen The Oculus?
No.
It's so good.
Is it?
It's like, it's a really healthy mix between Sixth Sense, like psychological thriller and paranormal. It's amazing. And it has, old girl in it. I want to say it's not Deborah Messing, but that's who's coming to my mind. Hold on.
Okay, you look it up.
I am.
I'm very sad that the movie we watched last night was not what we thought it was going to be.
Taylor and I had a horror movie.
Movie marathon. We watched a slash and dice movie, and then we wanted to watch a paranormal movie. And I know that by the time this comes out, like, it's going to be spooky season's almost over. But for next year, if you have any ooky spooky movies that you want me and Jenny to watch, let us know. And maybe we'll do like a movie marathon next year.
How fun. Like a spooky movie book club.
Yeah.
It's Karen Gillan.
Oh, I love her.
Yeah. She's the main character.
Okay. Yeah. Oculus?
Yes. Oculus. It's okay. So good. She's also fantastic as Amy Pond in Doctor Who. Yes. But whatever.
Yeah. She's also in the remake of Jumanji.
Is she?
Yeah, which is excellent.
It is?
Listen, I am not normally for, like, remakes or, like spinoffs, really. But I watched Jumanji on my way to Africa, and I really just wanted something stupid to put on.
Long flight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I tell you, I laughed so hard. And would watch again.
Really?
I mean it from the depths of my soul. Okay. Karen is hilarious. They all basically become like game characters.
Okay.
So this like little weaselly kid becomes The Rock.
Oh, God.
This poor like shy introverted girl becomes Karen Gillan.
Oh, poor girl.
And her uniform is like a like super midriff, shorty shorts.
Oh, no.
And this poor girl internally is like, ah! trying to cover up and be like, I'm scared. It's hilarious. It's okay. So good. Would highly recommend.
So go watch Oculus and Jumanji.
Yes. And do not watch Malevolent on Netflix.
No.
2 out of 10.
It was the...
How did you describe it? It was like the dice.
Yeah, it's like somebody made up 4 characters and they just rolled a dice and there were 5 yeses and 1 no. And they were like, gets whacked with a machete. Yes, they live. Yes, they live. Yes, they, it's absurd.
Mm-hmm.
I think is the best way that I can describe it.
I thought it was it would have been maybe a great television show. Like a 12-episode arc.
Yes.
But they tried to fit 12 episodes into an hour and a half. And I just kept thinking, oh, this is that big scene.
And it
just never was.
It kept getting more and more twisty and bizarre.
It didn't even give me time to be scared.
No, because there was too much happening.
To the next thing. And I was like, wait, what? What?
But what about the girl with her mouth shown shut? Like, right. What about her?
And we weren't even talking that much.
No!
Like, though, the one we watched before, that one was pretty good.
The Resident.
The Resident was the slasher.
Whoa.
And it got weird in a way that I wasn't expecting, but it was very good.
It was a good movie, but it was very... It gets icky. It gets really icky. It needs trigger warnings. Watch a trailer before you watch it. But it has Hilary Swank.
Yep. Jeffrey Dean Morgan. I get those two mixed up.
Little Daddy Jeff. So hot.
Love him.
Yep. Did a great job. Not so hot in this movie, but it is what it is.
Yeah. It was good. But Jenny and I basically talked the whole time through movies. I'm sure Ian was ready to throttle both of us.
Poor Ian. He doesn't even want to watch the scary movie, but like now he can because we won't shut up.
Nope. We don't let you get scared. We're about to poke holes
in every single thing.
Taylor's going to be really mad about the costume design.
Oh,
in everything.
A button up with a denim skirt. I don't think so. It's good stuff. So I hope that on this Ookie Spooky Halloween, you get to watch a scary movie with the people that you love.
Let us know what your scary movie is. Your favorite go-to of all time scary movie. We'll start a thread in the group.
Yeah. Oh, how fun.
Yeah.
Go to the Facebook group. One of us will post. Follow us on the social medias. Mm-hmm. If you have a spooky story that happened to you, please send it to us, alittlebitgrim@gmail.com. We would love to hear it. Read your story.
Yeah, and just because Ookie Spooky season is kind of over in the real world, welcome to A Little Bit Grim, where it is always Ookie Spooky.
Ookie Spooky is not a day on the calendar.
It's a way of life.
It's something you have in your heart.
It's our soul.
We love it. And we love you. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, and we will talk at you soon.
Goodbye. Bye.